Morning. It's good to be back with you. I appreciate all of your prayers and just kind of an update. We were able to get my father into the VA hospital hospice program there, and so that's where he will remain. At least that's the plan until he passes away. They only take you into those programs if you're within 3 months time span of when they expect you to pass away. And so that's what they're looking at with that. But I do appreciate all of your prayers, and it's good to be back with you. We have been studying various parables of Jesus and looking at these parables, really looking at what Jesus is telling his disciples and see how does that apply to us and what's the message we can take from that, and really as an effort to try to help us to be a church and to be individual people of excellence for the Lord. And we've been looking at a lot of different parables so far, and we've seen that some of those parables that we've studied have had to do with Jesus' view of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and he compares the kingdom to some particular situation. Some of them we've looked at that are parables that really indicate how he wants us to live in our lives from day to day. And last time we looked at a parable that had to do with prayer and what Jesus was teaching about the importance of prayer and us being able to go before God and make our requests to him. Well, today we're going to begin a series of parables. There'll be three of them over the next 3 weeks. We're going to be looking at parables that have to do with servants or servanthood. Okay? And what does Jesus want us to know about being servants in his kingdom? And so this particular parable in Luke chapter 12 is a parable that's referred to as the watchful servants. Okay? Now, when we're looking at these parables about servants, one of the things that I want you to keep in mind, we're talking about servants in the kingdom, okay? And so that refers to who? Us. Okay, some of you didn't sound like you were really sure of that, okay? But that refers to us. He's talking to us as servants in his kingdom. And so when we look at this parable, Jesus starts out by telling us, okay, his servants, the importance of preparedness or being ready for things. Now, you know, there's a lot of different aspects of our lives today where we are encouraged to be ready for certain things. I know, you know, some of you are already getting ready for school to start again. Right, Charles? Yeah, okay. Charles, no, I'm not getting ready. Okay. But you know, we make certain preparations. You know, we got to go and buy all the school supplies and the clothes and, you know, all the stuff that we need so that when school starts, the day it begins, we are ready. There's also, you know, when we have impending disasters that are coming our way, whether it's a hurricane or tornado, there is disaster preparedness that we know about, right? At least we should. So, you know, you should have your box of disaster supplies stuck away in a safe place. So if a disaster comes, then you are prepared for it. One of the principles that, you know, the authorities teach and so forth and try to get all of us to prepare ahead of time, because once the hurricane comes or the tornado comes or whatever it is, once that already happens, it's kind of difficult to get ready for it, right? You know, and then you're kind of stuck with going, oh, what happened? You know, what do I do now? So the idea is be prepared ahead of time, right? And Jesus, in talking in this parable here, is talking about not a disaster, but rather the greatest event in all of mankind, second only to his death on the cross, and that's his second coming, you see? And he's talking about being ready when that occasion comes. So he begins in this parable by saying, be dressed and ready for service with your lamps burning, he says. Okay? Now, when Jesus is talking about being dressed and ready, I don't know about you, but you know, and when I associate being dressed and ready with servanthood, what comes to my mind is, you know, Hazel the maid. Y'all remember Hazel, right? Ted, you remember Hazel. You're shaking your head. No, yeah, you do. You're a whole lot older than I am. Okay, you know, or Joe the butler, you know. So, an outfit, isn't there, that is associated with the servant of the house or the maid or whatever it is, you see? And so, you know, we look at that kind of an outfit, we know, okay, well, that's the butler, you see, or that's the maid. Why? Because they are dressed and ready in apparel that everybody knows that's who they are. Right? Makes sense? Okay. And so Jesus is telling us, you see, there's a standard. And that's what I want you to be thinking about. There's a standard of dress that comes with being a servant. All right? You with me? In other words, what you are to wear, what you are to look like, and the idea that Jesus wants us to know when he says, be dressed and ready, you see, is so that when someone sees us, they automatically, right away, recognize us as Hazel. Okay? Or Joe the butler, or whatever. You see, in other words, when they see us, they see a servant. You see? So be dressed and ready. See, with the standard issued clothing that identifies us as a servant. Properly dressed, that is to be clothed with Christ. Okay? Would then identify us, wouldn't it, as a servant. Okay? Have your lamps burning, he says. And why is that significant? And that's in contrast to not waiting until the master arrives to then rush around trying to light the lamps. But he's saying, have them already lit. They're burning. They're waiting. They're ready. Okay? And then notice the other thing that he says here, that the servant can immediately open the door when the master arrives. You see that there? So in other words, what Jesus wants us to understand as servants is that we've got to clothe ourselves in such a way that we look like we're servants. We're the ones. We're identified as servants, and we are ready at any moment. So we don't have to, at the last minute, try to rush around and get things all in order when the announcement comes that the master has arrived. You see, the issue is that there's not going to be any time to do that. See? When the master comes, then time's up. See? And unfortunately, I think too many of us kind of live with this idea that I'll have some time. You see? And so we're willing to risk the being prepared for, you know, I'll get some notice here, and then once I get the notice, then I'll go ahead and start, you know, getting things in order. But it doesn't work that way. See? It doesn't work that way. Thousands of people die every single day in America. And I forget what the statistic is. I looked it up one time and I don't remember the exact number, but it's, you know, several thousand people die every day in America. And I would grant you that not very many of them, when they got up that morning, thought that they were going to die that day. For instance, there was a fellow by the name of John Collins who the El Paso County Sheriff's Office in Colorado found his body Friday buried beneath all of the mud that he and two other people were covered in and died by a mudslide. I don't think that Mr. Collins and the other two people, if you would have asked them that morning when they got up, said, "Do you think you're going to die today?" that they would have said, "Oh yeah, it's a mudslide that's coming and I'm going to be involved in that. And so yeah, today's my last day." It doesn't work that way. Okay. In fact, unless you are terminally ill and in a situation where you know that you are dying, you don't get a whole lot of advance warning to leave this world, do you? And even then, in the case of like with my father, he's got 3 months. Okay, well, 3 months is a long time. When is that going to be? I don't know. And so you see, Jesus is urging us to be ready. And not just to stand around kind of, okay, but to be ready as servants, that's ready to serve and doing what it is that we are to be doing. So, do you look like a servant of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." See, those are qualities and characteristics, aren't they, of servants? Because you can't be a servant if you don't have humility and kindness and such. Okay. Is your lamp burning? Or are you just kind of waiting until you get the word and then you're going to try to rush and light it? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand where it gives light to all who are in the house." In the same way, let your light shine before men so they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Is your lamp burning? Okay. That's present tense. Just something for you to think about. Are you ready to die today? That's a sobering question, isn't it? I mean, you came here this morning, you probably weren't ready for this kind of a lesson, were you? He's going to ask me if I'm ready to die today. Okay. Because the reality is, none of us is guaranteed to go home to our beds tonight. We back, last year, about a little over a year ago, we had a gathering here of all of our ladies, Ladies' Day, and everybody had a great time, had fun, we had a good meal and all that kind of stuff, and I got a phone call that we were cleaning up and everything, and somebody ran a stop sign and ran into Rick. Stole his car, injured him some. I mean, he left here, they say, "Hey, I'll see you tomorrow." We saw him tomorrow, but that was after he was involved in a pretty serious wreck. Last week, was it, Keith? The Lord blessed him and kept him from it, but just as easily that could have gone the other way. See, the point is, we've got to always be ready. Jesus tells this parable because He does not want us as His servants to be complacent in life. You see? Be ready. Are you ready? But again, the readiness is not just a matter of saying, "Okay, I got all my ducks in a row, and I'm a Christian, I got baptized, and I said all the right things, and I go to church every Sunday, and so yeah, I'm ready." Remember, He's talking about servants here, and with servants comes what? Service, thank you. You see? That's doing stuff. Okay? So, are you ready? Are you ready to serve in the Master's kingdom? Or would you need time before you could open the door for Him? to get things in order. You know, another interesting thing about this parable is how Jesus tells us about the master doing some serving here. Do you notice that in here? You know, when the master comes and he finds his servants ready, Jesus says, you know, the master then begins serving. You know, he takes the servants and sit down and he begins taking care of them. Well, that's kind of a contrast, isn't it? And some people go, well, doesn't that contradict something that Jesus said in another story about, you know, the servants, you know, when the master comes in, he doesn't say to his servants, sit down and I'll prepare your meal. In fact, he says, you serve me. Well, don't get the two confused. They're not a contradiction. There, Jesus is talking about that when we are doing our service, we're not earning our salvation. God doesn't owe us anything. We're only doing what servants are supposed to be doing. But here the really neat thing is that we find the master who is doing the serving of the servants. And of course, we see that the example of that in Jesus in John chapter 13 when he washes the feet of his disciples. And so this concept of the master doing the serving is not strange to Jesus. And you go back to there and you look at what does Jesus say to his disciples after he washed their feet. And he said, do you understand what I've just done for you? You call me Lord and teacher, or master, some translations say, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And if I, your Lord and master, can wash your feet, so you must wash one another's feet. That's the master demonstrating service as an example. And then he calls upon us to do the same thing. He says to his disciples there on that occasion, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So we find the example of the master who is doing the serving and then calling upon the servants to follow his example. But you know, really, I think in this parable, I think the picture that Jesus really wants us to see as servants is the welcoming home celebration, so to speak. And how grand and glorious it will be when the Lord does come back again and He takes us home to be with Him. Wow. What a great experience that's going to be, to have the Lord Jesus there to welcome us into His kingdom of heaven. What a great and grand privilege to have Jesus there to greet us. I think that's the picture that Jesus in this parable wants us to see. That Jesus as the Master will be there ready to greet us and to welcome us in and to take us in to His home, to the mansion that He has prepared for us. I don't know about you, but I think that's a good thing, and I'm looking forward to that. Then we have a question. What time is it? I know some of you are going, it's time to eat. Will you sit down and be quiet so we can get... No, we're not talking about that time. Okay? We're not talking about that time. But you know, if you think about it, we really get overly concerned, I think, with time, don't we? You know? I mean, there's certain expressions like time is money. You know, don't waste my time. You see things like that because we're so concerned about time. And yet I think in reality we really don't spend the proper amount of time concerned about the importance of the time. You understand what I'm saying? You see? Time comes and goes, and it will until the Lord comes back again. But in reality, there's really only one time that counts, that really matters. You see? And so the question, what time is it? You see? And we look at this particular parable that Jesus is talking about, and there's a time that he is referencing. Do you understand that? There's a particular point in time that Jesus is focusing on, and that's the point when he's coming back to take his servants to be with him. And, you know, we put a lot of effort in our lives, I think, in being on time for certain things, don't we? You know, whether it's work or whether it's school, or we don't seem to put a whole lot of that in terms of church, okay? But I won't elaborate on that anymore. You know what I'm saying here. You know, we don't want to be late for all kinds of things. You're going to go to a movie, you don't want to be late. You want to make sure you're there for all the previews and, you know, the beginning of the movie, because if you miss the first 2 minutes, then you don't know what the whole thing's about. So you're going to be there on time, right? So we put that kind of effort into to make sure that we are ready for events like that when it's time to go. Although there are some people, oddly enough, you know, that I've seen, you know, not to pick on women, men do the same thing. I've seen women driving down the road putting their makeup on, you know, as they're going their way to work or wherever. You know, they obviously were not ready. Okay, the guys, you know, I've actually seen guys driving down the road shaving with an electric razor, you know, looking in the mirror going like this, you know. They're obviously not ready. See? So, yeah, some people put it off, don't they? And that's what Jesus is talking about here, is he's emphasizing the importance of always being ready. See? Because we don't know when that time is going to come. And again, keep in mind that he's talking to his servants. Okay? If you knew, Jesus says, at what time the thief was going to come and break into your house, then you'd do what was necessary to prevent him from breaking in, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, Jesus throws that in there, but it's not just kind of a side thing. It's he puts it in there to emphasize, really, the ridiculousness of not being ready. And the importance of realizing we don't know when he's going to come. Just like you don't know when a thief is going to come. The thieves, I worked 11 years in law enforcement. I never saw any thief yet that advertised that, guess what? I'm going to come break into your house tonight. Is that okay? You're going to be gone? Yeah, ridiculous, isn't it? It doesn't happen that way. They wait until you're not ready for them. See? I was talking with my mom. We were going back and forth, you know, to the hospice every day. And my dad, when he retired from the Air Force, he immediately got a job working for an alarm company, a security company up there, and was one of the vice presidents of the security alarm company up there. And he's got this really great alarm system. I mean, it covers everything. You know, it's got the fire and the water and, you know, and the burglars and everything. Well, you know, they had some problems with it about a month or so ago, and the company came in and they replaced everything. So he's got a new, updated system. My mom and I are going out to the hospital, and I said, aren't you going to set the alarm? No, I don't know what the code is. I said, Mom, you don't set the alarm when you go to bed at night because, you know, you don't know how to set it so that it won't go off if you get up to go to the bathroom or something in the nighttime. You don't set it at night. You don't set it when you go out. What's the point? I just hope that all the burglars in town don't realize that she doesn't set the alarm. She's got the stickers all over, and that's what she's counting on, is the stickers to scare the burglars away. It sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? But isn't that kind of what we do when it comes to Jesus? You know, we're expecting somehow we're gonna get a notice. You know, and you got people out here all the time saying, you know, the end is near, and They've been looking for the signs, and they're watching, and so they're pronouncing that Jesus is coming back on this day or that day, and they've been doing that for decades and probably even longer than that, and he still hadn't come back yet, has he? Which is exactly his point. We never know. And so we need to be ready when that time comes, because Jesus is saying, I'm going to come just like the thief in the night at a time when you least expect me to come. See? So it goes back to the question, are you ready? See? Are you ready for Him to come in your life? See? Are you dressed and prepared as a servant, doing the work of the servant? You have your lamp burning so that people can see who you are in your service, so they can glorify God for that. You got everything in order so that you don't have to try to rush around and go, oh, I need a little bit more time. Because when He comes, there's not going to be any more time. So are you ready? Okay. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song. It's an invitation song. The Lord's invitation is open. I want you to be thinking about that question while we're singing the song. Are you ready? As a servant of the Lord, are you ready? Or are there some things you need to get straightened out in your life and get in order so that you will be ready when He comes? If you need help to do that, that's what we want to do. And if you're not a child of God yet, you haven't given your life to Him, you can do that right now. So you can be ready when He does come. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as such. Repent of the sin that separated you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning, so that you will be ready when He comes. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up, and Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him in the back, he'll be back there to receive you. Whichever way, we're here to help with whatever need you have. Let's stand together and sing.